It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad to be back with you tonight. Welcome into the program. We hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour. We have an exciting discussion planned for tonight. We want to talk about false teachers and our response to them. We hope you'll stay tuned. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined in the studio tonight by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, glad to be with you tonight.
Good to be back tonight with you. We were out last week. Appreciate James Buchanan for filling in for us, and he was helped by Mike Johnson and Britt Haynes. We're glad they were able to help out and fill in while we were gone.
Yeah, we got to watch those scheduling conflicts. We both ended up going at the same time, but we really do appreciate those fellows for filling in for us. I talked to James Buchanan today, and I told him that he sounded like William Buckley Jr. on the radio.
That probably made him happy.
Yeah, he was impressed.
We're glad that you're here tonight, and we hope you'll stay tuned. Joining us to help with the discussion, Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church, is here. Hello, Wade.
Hey.
We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you are listening tonight. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. The number to call is 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. Or you can email us your questions if your phone line is locked up with your internet connection tonight. You can email those questions to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. Or the number to call, 931-381-4567. Dad, looking forward to our listeners participating tonight. We want to talk some, but we'd like our listeners to talk as well.
Yeah, we'd love for you to join in. Again, we'll take a question or comment on any Bible subject. We have sort of set as our theme for tonight the subject of false teachers, how to identify them and what to do with them when they are identified, those kind of things. Those are the kind of things that we've kind of set as our agenda for tonight, but we'd be willing to divert from that and talk about anything you want to talk about if you have a question on a different subject. As we've been doing in recent weeks, we've done it again this week. If you go to the website, now, if you clicked on to listen, your media player probably is occupying your window currently. If you will minimize that and go back to the page. When you do that, the page that you use to click on to listen probably will show back up automatically. And there's a link on that page to an outline for tonight's study. And so go to that and click on that, and you can kind of see the outline that we've prepared for ourselves to discuss. It's a very, very rough outline. What I mean by that is that it's not filled out. It's not complete. What we're hoping that you will do is maybe look to that, possibly even print it out, and then use that to take notes, maybe fill in some scriptures as we go along. Make this a real Bible study, Jacob. That's what we're hoping people will do.
That's right, and we look forward to hearing from you. It'll be a lot more interesting if you can join in the discussion with us and we don't have to listen to ourselves all night. We look forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com.
I think we may have another technical glitch going on, Jacob. We're not getting our normal confirmations of people who are logged on to listen. Usually we get an indication when people log on, and we're not getting that tonight. So we're hoping that you're out there listening. You might send us a confirmation telling us that you are. And while you're at it, send us an email question or comment about the subject of false teachers.
That's right. We look forward to hearing from you tonight. You know, Dad, it is important that we talk about this subject. There is a premium placed on truth. We must have the truth. Jesus said that very clearly in John 8, verse 32, where he said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we're going to be free, we've got to have the truth. Truth is very important for us in our lives spiritually.
That's right. It is critical if we're going to be set free from sin. Of course, that's what Jesus was talking about. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? The truth is going to make you free from sin. We need that. Basically, he's talking about salvation, about forgiveness, and about the hope of heaven and eternity. We can be set free from the bondage of sin but only through the truth. And therefore, it is very important.
That's right. We must know the truth, and the truth is in the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And so we see then that the truth of God is revealed in His Word. It is interesting to note, though, that Jesus says very clearly that the truth can be known. You know, a lot of people in the religious world, I was listening to a debate just today from a guy who said that the Bible really wasn't absolute, that it just sort of depended on how you wanted to interpret it. But it's very clear that Jesus said we can know the truth. The truth is something that's absolute. We can put our finger on it. We can know what the truth is, Dad. That's contrary to what a lot of people are saying in our society, whereas there is no such thing as an absolute truth, and it just depends on where you are and who you are to determine truth. But Jesus says we can know the truth, an absolute.
Right. A lot of people think that this is very subjective. It's up to you. It's how you feel about something. And it may, truth to you may be different than truth to me. That's just simply not so.
And more importantly, a lot of people say truth to me is a lot different than it was to truth to the person in the first century, that times have changed. We live in a different society. Now things are different. But Jesus doesn't speak that way.
I think that's right. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice, Paul said it was revealed to him, he wrote it, we can read it and know what we need to know. Later in the same book, in Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 17, he said, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so it's possible for us to understand. We can know.
We've got a big dilemma there, though. If we can't understand the truth and know the truth, then we have Paul giving us a command that is virtually impossible if the truth is as difficult to find as so many people in the world would tell us today. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567, or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. You know, Dad, you mentioned that the truth is the source of our freedom. Truth gives us freedom from sin. Truth gives us freedom from the devil and the destruction that he would like for our souls.
Yeah, that's right. There's really obviously a battle going on in spiritual things. It's the forces of evil versus the forces of good, the forces of Satan versus the forces of God. And Satan, things that are untrue, things that are lies, all falsehood, originates with Satan. Jesus said in John 8:44, speaking to the false teachers of his day, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so, you know, this is the real heart of the matter. It's truth versus error. It's what's right versus what's wrong. It's God versus Satan.
That's right. 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeview.com. Wade, you look puzzled, like you have something to say.
Jacob, do you ever realize, or do you ever wonder exactly what, when the scripture says in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, really what are we free from? In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, so also we, while we were children, were held in bondage, in some versions I think say slavery, under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons of God, because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. So now we actually are received through God as a son.
Certainly a benefit from the truth. We can be in a right relationship with God, and that's why we have such a premium on it, Dad. While we've got to find that truth, we've got to search for that truth, and we've got to understand the truth.
Well, and that's why we've got to have a right attitude toward it. I think we've got to value it. We've got to understand the importance of it. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, that speaks to the importance of this matter. And so we've got to know truth. Now, make the connection to our theme tonight, Jacob. We've got to know truth, therefore we've got to be able to recognize false teachers.
That's right. We've got to understand if someone's teaching us something that is false, and we've got to shun that and refuse it. And that's what we see in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The proverb writer there tells us we need to seek after that truth, we need to grab onto it, and anyone who would come to us teaching something false, Dad, is something that should be avoided and refused.
Yeah, and back to what you were saying earlier, Jacob, those people who suggest that truth is relative or unknowable, they're really teaching a very dangerous thing. We've got to know the absolute truth of God, because it and it alone can make us free.
Well, it's sort of a comforting thing, though, when you think about it. If truth is absolute, then there's no absolute right. There's no absolute wrong way. We are pretty much left to our own decisions about that, and we sort of like it when we think that the truth is not absolute. It's easier for us if truth is not absolute, and there really is no set right or wrong thing.
You know, Paul was very protective of the truth. In Galatians 2, in verse 4, it says it was because of the false brethren who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, in order to bring us into bondage, but we did not yield in subjection to them even for ours, so that the truth of the gospel might remain in you. Paul was very protective of the truth.
That's right. The number to call, 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567. Or email us your questions to questions@collegeu.com. Looking forward to hearing from you tonight. What do you think about false teachers? Do you believe that they're a problem? Do you believe that false teachers in the world today are a problem? And if so, how can we deal with them? How do we know when someone is a false teacher? How do we know that false teachers are among us? 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeu.com. Dad, the Bible's very clear. We must not tolerate those who are teaching false doctrine.
No, it also tells us, though, that this has been a continual problem. There's always been a problem of false teachers among God's people. Notice 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So I think the thing to key in on there, several things in Peter's description of false teachers, but one of the things is that it has always been a problem, and God's people have always had to be on guard and be careful.
It has always been a problem, and it's interesting, Dad, that there would be false teachers, and the verse here sort of gives us a reason and indication why they're doing it for their own personal gain. And so we've got to be careful of that and be on guard. It has always been a problem. We've got to seek out and know the truth. We've got to sort of filter it out from the false teaching that is out in the world.
You know, the thing that is probably the example of that that just sort of sticks in my mind is to think of these false teachers, these religious charlatans, these television evangelists, you know, late night TV.
And the gold living room with the purple hair.
Yeah, and then just constantly begging for money. If you listen to any of those broadcasts, fully 75% of all the discussion is about send us more money. And when Peter says that these false teachers will act through covetousness with feigned words and make merchandise of people, well, that really seems to strike a chord with what's going on in those realms.
Well, I think there is a financial aspect to motivation why people are doing that. I think there's also a pride aspect to that as well. You know, a lot of people want a following, and if they can teach a gospel that is palatable to people who are listening, it tickles their ears, and it gets a following, that's what they're after. And I believe that's another reason why there are false teachers. There have always been false teachers. It has been the obligation of those who want to be pleasing to God to sift through the false teaching that is in the world and determine what is truth. And that's what our goal is here on the virtual Bible study. We want to talk about false teachers tonight. What are your thoughts? How do we deal with false teachers? How do we know when false teachers are among us teaching false doctrine? We're looking forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567. 931-381-4567. Or email us your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. Want to hear from you tonight on the virtual Bible study. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Do you remember when churches taught the truth in a straightforward and direct way with no sugarcoating? Can you recall when homosexuality was plainly condemned and unscriptural divorce and remarriage was not tolerated? Can you think back to a time when you heard hard sermons on moral issues like dancing, immodest dress, and filthy movies? Do you long for a return to the kind of teaching and preaching that you heard 30 or 40 years ago? The College View Church is trying hard to maintain the same moral principles that have been associated with God's people throughout the ages. They want to hold the line against the drifting that is characterized in so many churches today. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're here tonight on the Virtual Bible Study. Stay tuned as we talk about false teachers and false teaching in the world. How do we decipher what is false teaching, and how do we determine what is true, and how do we respond to those who are false teachers? 931-381-4567. Or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the discussion tonight. We noted before the break that there have been false teachers in the world since time long ago. There have been false teachers. Those who want to be pleasing to God have always had to filter through the false teaching. That it is imperative then that we are always on guard. You know, I think a lot of times people are just sort of blind and they just follow whatever they hear.
They act like there's no danger. They act like there's not a problem, that there couldn't be any false teaching. But I want you to notice, listen, I got a number of verses here, Jacob, and just might mention, notice what Jesus said, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Jesus painted the picture of a flock of sheep or herd of sheep. Was a sheep a herd or a flock? Flock of sheep, I guess.
I don't know.
A whole bunch of
herd of cows.
A
whole bunch of them. But anyway, he draws the picture of a wolf stalking them to devour them and cause great harm. And that's the picture that we're supposed to consider a false teacher. Beware of false prophets, he said.
But, you know, the wording here is amazing. It's definite. It's going to happen. And that's something that we've got to be aware of. There are going to be false teachers.
Yeah.
You know, as you study through history, we can see that in the Roman Empire, a lot of times the historians portray that as the reason Rome fell was because of not outside forces, but inside forces actually caused Rome to fall. And when I was studying this today, I was thinking about, you know, this is really kind of a tough topic, because have you ever thought about what you believed, you know, in past times? Did you ever feel like that you were a false teacher? I mean, did you ever feel like that you were teaching wrong on a subject? I mean, I'm not sure that maybe he's indicating this there. But it's surely something to think about, though, isn't it? That we have to also be on guard for ourselves.
Sure.
Not necessarily.
We've got to be watching ourselves to make sure that we're accurately teaching, handling aright the word of truth, as Paul wrote to Timothy.
Well, you know, we talked about the fact that a lot of people sort of are blind and they just sort of follow whatever they feel like. You know, I think a lot of us, if we turned on the television and saw a televangelist, we'd be on guard. We'd be aware of what the televangelist was teaching. But I think when we step inside the church building of the congregation that we're a member of, we feel like there's a barrier. Like no false teacher could ever get inside the doors of the church building where we normally worship.
There's a trust there, isn't there?
There's a trust, right. But look at 2 Peter chapter 2 again. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Peter very clearly says there, nobody is immune to false teaching. There will be false teachers among us.
Yeah. I was thinking of another passage here from Jacob, Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. So the false teacher and those who follow the false teacher are going to be led to destruction.
You know, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul, writing to the Ephesian elders there, he tells them, be on guard for yourselves and for all your flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They're told to be on guard. Watch.
That's right.
Jacob, we're getting an email from Jared and Lee in Cookeville, Tennessee. Jared and Leanne in Cookeville, Tennessee, write and say, people today get carried away in the wisdom of men, Colossians 2, and verse 8. Let me turn to that real quick and read Colossians 2, verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And so again, there's another passage teaching that we got to have caution. People can get carried away with the wisdom of men and their own inventions. Then Jared and Leanne go on to say, we also get carried away in the teaching that appeals to us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 18, it says, "But when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from those who live in error." In other words, they say the things that people like to hear. And that's very common of false teachers. They develop a following because they say what people like to hear.
Well, it's only obvious that no one's going to be very successful at being a false teacher if they're saying something that nobody wants to hear. You know, Wade, if I told you you had to poke out both of your eyes to be pleasing to God, you might say...
That'd be false teaching.
That'd be false teaching. And you wouldn't be very prone to do that. But if I told you, Wade, you can go out and party all you want on the weekend and nobody's going to have any problem with you, then you might be more tempted to follow that false teaching.
You reckon maybe I could say a couple Hail Marys and be okay then?
You probably could if you wanted to follow that false doctrine. 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com. Thank you, Jared and Lee, for that comment.
They got one more scripture they referenced there. Okay. Jacob, notice that last line there.
We need to realize that there is a silver lining to having false teaching and divisions. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. I believe that's a passage that says there must be heresies among you.
So they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
That's right.
So these heresies, these false teachings, sort of like a sifting process, so that those who are true and loyal and faithfully serving God will be made known.
The number to call is 931-381-4567 or send us questions@collegeview.com. Looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight.
You know, Jacob, this verse that they referenced here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, when it talks about the philosophy and empty deception, you know, I see that sometimes in the church. Some people, when they talk about evolution, you know, we have some doctrines out there now that are saying that the world is, several billions years old. And I mean, that's all through that scientific philosophy, that type of stuff. I mean, it sounds to me like this verse has pretty much got a grasp on it.
931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Speaking of questions@collegeview.com.
We're getting an email from Mike in Columbia, Tennessee. Mike, glad you're listening tonight. He says, we have examples of those who oppose the truth in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourselves, for he vigorously opposed our teaching." That's the New American Standard Version, Mike says. I think he's exactly right. Not only did the New Testament authors and writers and teachers warn against false doctrine and those who promote it, We actually have the names of some of those false teachers. They're identified, and their deeds are exposed in the pages of the inspired scripture.
Well, that gets into what we want to talk about a little bit later in the program. How do we deal with those who are false teachers? You know, a lot of people would say you shouldn't call them out by name. You need to be careful about what you say about people. Paul didn't mince any words. He told people who was the false teacher and who they needed to be careful of. 931-381-4567. Or questions@collegeview.com. Here they come again. Another question.
Got another question from Mark down in North Florida. Mark, real glad you're listening tonight. He says, false teachers are often people that tend to play on people's emotions instead of following God's word for guidance. I think he's exactly right. As you were saying a minute ago, Jacob, they have to say something that appeals to me, that I like, that makes me feel good, something that's easier, more palatable, easier to swallow than what the Bible says. You know, I'll give you an example. The Bible says we must be baptized for the remission of sins. That's a subject we've talked about here on the Virtual Bible Study. But, you know, it would be easier to believe in salvation by faith only. You know, you don't have to do anything. Wait, you don't have to be baptized. Just believe, you know. And so false teachers will migrate to that easier doctrine. It's easier to teach people that all you have to do is just say you believe. It's harder to tell people what the Bible really says, and that is you must believe and be baptized for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. And so I think Mark is exactly right when he says that the false teachers will play to people's emotions rather than following the Word of God for guidance. And I think that observation is a very good one.
Well, that's true, but, you know, some false teachers teach things that are more difficult. The Judaizing teachers, they were referenced in the book of Galatians, they were teaching something that was more difficult than the law of Christ. So not all false teaching is necessarily going to be something that's easier. We've seen these religious fanatics who get people to follow them and commit suicide, Wade. I mean, so just because something's easy doesn't necessarily mean it's a false doctrine, nor does something that's hard mean that it's necessarily a true doctrine. We have to understand that. We can't judge everything simply because of its ease or its relative difficulty, Wade, because other false teachers have taught things that were necessarily hard, and they still had a following.
That's true. There's been countless examples of that where people have just drove right in, even though it was pretty difficult.
The number to call is 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. As we talk about false teachers tonight, we appreciate Mark for his email. I know it's dark in Florida tonight, Dad, because Mark's not out deer hunting.
Probably right. Hope you get a big buck out there, Mark.
We're glad to hear from Mark.
Again, we've just got so many warnings in the Scripture, and it's amazing, as you said earlier, Jacob, that people are not aware or don't seem to act like they're aware of the danger that's going on. Notice in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. And so there was Paul telling Timothy. Timothy surely was a guy who would have been, you know, pretty cautious, would have normally been on guard, but Paul saw a need to warn him, tell him, keep your eyes open. The danger is real out there.
It is amazing the constant warnings against false teachers, yet so many people in the religious world seem to walk blindly along, Wade, listening to those who are spouting false doctrine with no alarm, in fact, embracing that false doctrine with no regard for what the Bible teaches. It is amazing, in spite of all the warnings that are in the Bible, how many people are led astray by false doctrine.
I told my daughter this week that we were going to be setting up traps for her. I'm just warning her, letting her know. We're going to be setting up traps for her. Well, you know, the Bible's done this. God's told us there's all kinds of false teachers out there. But still, we fall into these traps, don't we?
Yeah.
What kind of traps are these? Alligator pits? 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com.
A lot of times people get upset at us for making the very point that we're trying to make in our study tonight, and that is, you know, we are supposed to be tolerant. You're okay, I'm okay. You teach what you want, I'll teach what I want, and it really doesn't matter anyway. All of it's just fine. And if we ever say that someone is teaching error or that someone is a false teacher, usually the person who's regarded to be the bad guy in that scenario is us for saying so. Not the guy who's teaching the false doctrine, but us for identifying him as a false teacher. And yet, as we look to these many passages that we've already examined tonight, it's clear that the Bible teaches this is a real danger and something we've got to be working on.
How then do we deal with those false teachers? How do we deal with the false teaching that is in the world? How do we identify those who are teaching false doctrine? Or is it just up to our own guessing, or do we have some way, some standard to determine who is a false teacher and who is teaching truth? We're looking forward to that discussion, and we look forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeview.com. Time for a break, and when we get back, we'll talk more with you about false teachers. We hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You won't want to miss what we talk about next. The discussion continues right after these important messages.
Hello, I'm Wade with tonight's Bible quiz. Who was the father of Moses? Stay tuned, and I'll be right back with the answer.
Do you remember when no one would have thought twice about getting the church involved in daycare centers, kindergarten, softball leagues, and youth camps? Are you upset when churches spend more time and money on social programs and recreational activities than on spreading the gospel? Are you tired of seeing congregations with their emphasis in entirely the wrong areas? We're still preaching the same gospel and still practicing the same things that you remember from years ago. We're committed to the idea of speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. Check us out. Please visit soon at the College View Church of Christ.
This is Wade again. Did you know the answer to tonight's Bible quiz? The question was, who was the father of Moses? The answer is Amram. That's found in Exodus 6, verse 20. Thanks for listening to tonight's virtual Bible study. And stay tuned for more exciting facts from God's Word coming up next.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567 or send us questions at collegeview.com. We want to talk about false teachers and how we can identify false teachers. You know, false teaching is a problem in the church, Dad. It has been a problem. It's been a problem among God's people throughout history. And Jude in verse 3 through 4 writes, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There were people in the first century that needed to be dealt with. They needed to be on guard against these people. We need to be on guard today in the 21st century as well. How then can we be on guard? How can we identify those who are false teachers who are teaching false doctrine?
Well, I think the first step in it is what we've already been talking about tonight, and that is be aware that the possibility exists. Be aware not only that the possibility exists, but the reality exists that there are false teachers in the world. Always have been, always will be. So that'd be the first step in recognizing that. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So Paul said there's false teachers, false apostles, deceitful workers, but you got to really watch, he said, because they're going to disguise themselves and make themselves appear as angels of light or ministers of righteousness. So the point of that, Jacob, is no false teacher is just going to stand up and say, hey, I'm a false teacher, and what I'm about to tell you is wrong. Now, he's obviously not going to do that. So we got to use some real caution. We got to develop some skill.
Yeah, he's not going to have horns growing out of his head, is what you're saying.
Exactly right.
So how do we do that, then? How do we determine if someone is a false teacher? Because it's going to be difficult. They're going to try and disguise their doctrine and their techniques in such a way that we won't be able to understand that they're false teachers. So how then do we determine who is a false teacher?
Well, first of all, we're not going to do it. We're not going to identify them based upon their apparent sincerity. You know, false teachers can appear to be very sincere. For instance, in Matthew 7, beginning verse 22, Jesus said, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, prophecy would be a form of teaching. He said, We've taught in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. So you can't judge a false teacher based upon his appearance sincerity. Jesus said, many times false teachers will appear to be very sincere.
Or where they're at, right? I mean, we talked about that a while ago. You know, people here in the church, you know, we don't stay on guard sometimes. We let our guard down. We was talking about that a while ago. We can't just judge them because they're here. I mean.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a lot of times we give people a pass because, oh, he's been a preacher for 50 years. He has really been dedicated servant of God. He's got to be teaching the truth because he's such a well-known preacher. I've always looked up to him. He's always worked so hard as a preacher. Therefore, we give him a pass. We don't examine his doctrine as closely as we should.
Well, what you're suggesting there, Jacob, is popularity. You know, you can't judge a false teacher because of his popularity. He may be very popular, but might still be a false teacher. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30, Jeremiah said, A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And so Jeremiah said, you know, complaining about the false teachers, he said, the people love it.
They love to hear that false teaching. So you can't judge him based on his popularity. You can't say, well, he's great. He's got a big following. Lots of people listen to him. Therefore, he couldn't be a false teacher.
Well, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read about the false teacher, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. So by nature, a false teacher is going to be popular, Wade. There are going to be, generally, with a false teacher, a lot of people that are following him. And so if we judge someone's truth and sincerity just based upon how many people are following him, that's a wrong standard to use.
Well, that's for sure, because you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14? Enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So Jesus said the majority are going to follow false teachers and go the wrong way.
But you can't judge by motives either. Nope. I mean, even if a guy's got a good motive,
even if he appears sincere, as we were saying.
Even if he is sincere,
they want to go to heaven, they still may be wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Got an email, Jacob, from Jack down in Covington, Georgia. Jack, great to know you're out there listening tonight. Glad you found our program down in Georgia. He writes, does a false teacher intentionally try to deceive, or can a false teacher be misled by his own teaching? I'd have to answer that probably yes and yes. I think some false teachers intentionally try to deceive. There's just no doubt about that. That description that we started out with in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it's clear that the false teachers of that text were intentionally teaching false doctrine to deceive people and make merchandise of them.
That's right. But at the same time, there are those who are sincere, there are people who are sincere, who are sincerely wrong, Dad. And, we've studied with people who are very sincere, very dedicated to what they believe, but yet they believe what is wrong, but they just do not see that. They don't. Their eyes aren't open to the truth, and therefore they are false teachers. Although they are sincere, they're just wrong in their beliefs.
And so I think in the answer to that part of Jack's question, I would say it's possible it could be both ways. Some false teachers intentionally teach false doctrine. Others are sincerely wrong, sincerely mistaken. And, of course, the answer to both of those is to go to the truth.
An example of that would be Apollos, right?
Yeah.
Aquila and Priscilla, how to teach him the way of God.
In the last verses of Acts chapter 18, Apollos came to Ephesus. He wasn't teaching the whole truth of God.
But he was sincere.
And he was a very capable man.
He was
very popular.
Popular, and he was making sacrifices for the Lord. He was just wrong. He needed to be taught differently. So it's an excellent question from Jack. We appreciate that tonight.
All right, we might also talk about, he's got another comment here, Jacob. He says, is there a difference between false teaching and false doctrine? And what about a teacher who misspeaks yet finds himself teaching something false? Is he a false teacher? There's probably several things to comment about there. First of all, I don't know if I can identify a difference between false teaching and false doctrine. However, I do recognize that there are some things that might be in error but have no consequence. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Jack, I don't know if this is something that might help along the lines of what you're asking or not, but I've talked to some people who very adamantly believe that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday and that he was resurrected on the first day of the week. So he's crucified Wednesday and resurrected on Sunday. They do that to try and get the full 3 days and three nights in the tomb. I think their effort is flawed. I don't think they need to go to that extreme. I think they're wrong. I think Jesus was crucified on Friday. I think that is a thing that can be established from the scriptures. Now, so what about someone who just very strongly believes Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, and I'm convinced the Bible teaches he was crucified on Friday? Well, both of us cannot be right in that matter. One of us is wrong, possibly both of us wrong. Maybe it was Thursday, there's a possibility, but I don't think so. But, would we brand that fella who has the conviction and come to the conclusion that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, would we brand him as a false teacher? Well, in my opinion, the position that he takes is of no moral consequence. In other words, I don't think a person would be lost in hell for believing that it was Wednesday instead of Friday. Now,
having said that, if the fellow became divisive, if he became obstinate, if he tried to develop a faction or party of people who agreed with him on that subject, tried to split the body of Christ on the subject of what day was Jesus crucified on, well, then we might have to do something different. But I think I could just go along peacefully with a fellow who disagreed with me on something like the day that Jesus was crucified, because it is a subject of no moral consequence, and it wouldn't lead anybody to commit sin one way or the other. Sometimes I think a person might be mistaken on a point, but we wouldn't necessarily brand him as a false teacher and therefore have to take some action relative to his false teaching. I don't know if I've made myself clear.
That's right. I appreciate that, those questions. Jack, glad that you're listening down in Georgia. 931-381-4567. Or question@collegeview.com is the email address to use. We're looking forward to hearing from you tonight. We'd like to hear from you on the phone if you have the ability to call 931-381-4567.
Jay, along the lines of those last comments, we might mention that, you know, even in Bible times, there were great men who had some differences of opinion that even led to them parting company. I'm referencing Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15, beginning verse 36, it says, "Some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do.' And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed," and so on it goes. So here's two great men. They had a serious difference of opinion, but neither one of them was a false teacher on that matter. I mean, it was just a difference of opinion as to who would be the best co-workers. And so they went their separate ways, but they wasn't, and so what I'm saying is we don't have to part company or have a falling out on differences of opinion either. Things that are not of moral consequence and don't affect the truth of the gospel.
So we want to be careful about throwing that label of false teacher around to someone who just has a difference of opinion on something that is inconsequential. 931-381-4567 or email us questions@collegeview.com. We have a question from Preston down in Valdosta, Georgia. Preston writes in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive a heavier judgment." Interesting verse there in James chapter 3, verse 1 that Preston references. I think that we have to be careful. If we're going to teach, we need to be careful that we're teaching the right thing, because we're going to be held accountable and responsible for the things that we teach. We need to be careful then that we teach what is truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he writes, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing them thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." We need to be careful about false teachers, he says, and what we teach ourselves. We can help or hurt people. We can help or hurt people's chances for eternity in heaven. We will be judged for everything, even what we say. In James chapter 2, what's the reference there? He has talked more about the tongue.
James 2, maybe verses. I know James 2, beginning in verse 1, I think it teaches us to be careful about what we say.
Okay. And the way that we make sure that what you say and what you hear is right and do what the Bible says. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a very important passage he references, says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We'll take it upon ourselves, Dad, to carefully study and to learn what the word of God says. It will help us to be on guard against those who are false teachers. We will understand false teaching when we see it if we'll carefully examine and study the word of God, as 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says. It will help us to defend ourselves against the false teacher.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm looking here at James. Maybe Preston was referencing James 3. The first verses of James 3 talk about using caution with the tongue. We appreciate Preston's comments. Preston's one of our regular listeners, and we're really glad you're out there, Preston, and glad that you're listening tonight. We appreciate your email. I think, Wade, you had mentioned this earlier. We're talking about false teachers, and it certainly behooves us to be careful that we're teaching the truth and that we're not teaching anything in error, and I think that's the gist of what Preston is saying.
That's exactly right. Thank you for your email tonight, Preston. We're glad that you're listening. 931-381-4567. Or email us questions@collegeview.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you tonight. We've got about 15 minutes to go in the program before we're done, and there's plenty of time to take your comments. 931-381-4567 or send us questions at collegeview.com. When we get back, Dad, we've got some ground to cover. We want to talk about how then can we identify someone who's a false teacher. We've talked about ways that we do not identify people who are false teachers by their popularity, by their number of converts, by their apparent sincerity or their past faithfulness. We need to understand then how can we determine if someone's a false teacher.
And what to do when we have thus identified them.
And what to do. We're looking forward to that discussion. We hope you'll stay tuned. There's more to go right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Me again, Mike Smith at the Collegeview Church of Christ. Let me ask you some more questions. Do you remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach them the truth? Does it seem that sermons you are hearing each week could easily be given in a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin, that at the end of the sermon you knew, by book, chapter, and verse, what the preacher was talking about and why? Well, we're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. We invite you to investigate for yourself. Please come and see this Sunday at the Collegeview Church of Christ at 9:30 a.m. on Hampshire Pike.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the virtual Bible study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the Collegeview Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the Collegeview Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the Collegeview Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the Collegeview Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back into the program tonight. As we talk about false teachers, we're real glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you're benefiting from the study tonight. As we talk about the important doctrine of, or the important concept of false teachers and how we identify them and what we do with them. We noted before the break how we do not identify a false teacher. Quickly, Dad, let's look at ways that we can identify a false teacher. If you have ideas about how we can identify a false teacher, send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or give us a call, 931-381-4567.
Real quick, before we go to that, trying to identify them, let me take an email from Mike in Cullioca, Tennessee. Mike, glad you're out there tonight. He says, a person is not just a false teacher for what he teaches, but a false teacher may also be a false teacher for things that he will not teach or that he avoids teaching.
Excellent comment.
I think that's a really good point, and I think there are a lot of false teachers who just simply won't teach on some Bible subjects. When Paul was teaching, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable for you in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. So Paul was one who declared the whole counsel of God, and that's what we've got to do. And we can't keep back any, even the things that are unpopular or unpleasant or people don't like to hear. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So Paul said that there would be false teachers and that people would look for them, people who would tickle their ears. And certainly there's plenty of that. I think Mike's comment is right on the mark. You can be a false teacher because of what you refuse to teach.
A lot of people are refusing to teach things because it's not popular. You know, we look back to the story of John the Baptist, and Herod had his head cut off because he had preached something that was not popular. You know, it had been very easy for John just to hold back, not teach certain things because they were unpopular. Yet John was careful to teach just what the Bible taught. 931-381-4567, or send us questions at collegeview.com. How then can we determine if someone's a false teacher?
What about James chapter 4 and verse 17, Greg, where it says, therefore to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin.
That would be right up that right in that same vein, I think, exactly right. Well, let's talk about identifying them. You know, Jesus said that false prophets are going to give a good outward appearance. They're going to appear harmless. Remember Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. So outwardly they look fine, they give a good appearance. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. So you can't identify them, like we were saying earlier, by just their appearance or some of those things. We've got to identify them by their fruits. In the very next verse, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And so we've got to look to the fruits of what they are teaching and see where it leads.
Where it leads, and that's very obvious. It's an excellent way to judge by looking at where their doctrine leads. What are the end results of their doctrine? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Jacob, John wrote, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we're not just supposed to believe whatever some religious teacher tells us. We've got to try the spirits. Now, how are we going to try them? What's going to be the basis of that trial? Well, it can only be the truth of God, right? The inspired scriptures. That's the only thing we know is complete and absolute truth. And so we compare what these teachers teach to the Word. We try them to see if it's true. And that's how we've got to make that determination. So really, it's a very, I don't want to oversimplify, it's not a simple process, but it's a simple concept. How do you identify false teachers? You take what they teach. You compare it to the Bible. You see if it's so. Really straightforward. One-to-one.
That's right.
It's really important to do that. I mean, it's really important to get to the Word. You know, I was listening to, I think it was a sermon that you did the other day about abortion, and some people were trying to justify abortion, and you said that only like 0.0% of abortion is for rape and the death of the mother or something like, you know.
Yeah.
So what the point I'm trying to make here is that there are a lot of people out there that just follow people. I mean, they don't test them. They don't try anything. In James chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and self-ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic.
Okay. Let me go quickly to another email. We got an email from Cynthia here in Columbia. Cynthia, glad you're listening tonight. She says, the question I'd like to know is, what Bible do you study? Do you use what's called the Authorized Version, published in 1611, known as the King James? Well, typically, yes, when you hear us reading a scripture, at least for my part, I usually use the King James. It's what I grew up on. It's what I'm familiar with. It's just what I'm very comfortable with. That is the one that I typically read from. So if you're hearing me read scripture, it's usually from the King James. She asked, do you use the original Hebrew text? No. I tried to learn Hebrew once. I gave up when I couldn't master the alphabet. That's a hard language to learn for sure. But she says, don't you think this matters when teaching? Yes, I do think it matters to use a reliable translation when we're studying and teaching the Word of God. Now, from all that I'm able to determine, I'm not a translator, I'm not a scholar in biblical languages, but from all that I'm able to discern from what I read of others who are, I think the King James Version is a fairly reliable translation of the Bible. It's not the only one. There are other good ones. Even tonight, you may have heard us make reference to, I think, one of our emailers quoted from the New American Standard Version. I think that's a good version. And there are others. Now, there are some bad translations of the Bible out there, even to the point I would say that false teachers, that's our theme tonight, that false teachers have tried to use certain translations to accomplish their false teaching purposes.
The New World Translation is one of those, the Good News for Modern Man. Lots of translations that just aren't worth using, that are corrupt and invalid.
Well, it's important to use a translation, not a paraphrase. Yeah. And some of those are paraphrases.
And the Good News Bible was written by one man. It's a paraphrase translation. It's not even a translation. It's a paraphrase in which he read other English versions and then decided he'd write what he read in his own words.
That was from the American Standard Version.
And so it's not even a translation from the original Hebrew or Greek. It's just his paraphrase of what he thinks it means. And so it's not an accurate translation at all. You know, a lot of people use the Good News Bible because it's readable. It's easily readable. But it's not accurate at all. And so, that's the objection that a lot of people have to the 1611 King James Version, is that it's the English in that version is sort of outdated. It's 400 years old, and language changes in time. I still think it's a good translation, and I think it's very understandable, but I understand that some people prefer a more modern English version, and I would recommend the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, or something like that.
Appreciate that question, Cynthia. If you have any other further questions, please give us an email, and we look forward to hearing from you. Well, Dad, quickly, what should we do about false teachers who are teaching false doctrine? How do we handle those people who are stubbornly teaching something that is doctrinally wrong and is an error? How do we deal with them?
Well, again, remember, we're not talking about differences of opinion or judgment, and we're not talking about things that are of no moral consequence. You know, we may differ over even a Bible subject. We may have some difference with somebody, a difference of understanding on some Bible subject, like the example I used earlier was what day was Jesus crucified on. If it's a matter of no consequence, then we can be long-suffering and patient, work with people. But if it is a damnable error, if it is something that's going to cause men to sin and lose their souls, then the scriptures are pretty clear what we've got to do. You referenced earlier Jacob, Jude, verse 3. Reading it again, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." I understand that terminology, and again, we were just talking about the original languages, and I'm not an expert in the original languages, but my study of that verse suggests that when Jude says we should earnestly contend for the faith, that those terms are words that you might use of military significance. It teaches a militant defense of the truth, and that's what we have to do.
But a lot of people will sit idly by as false teaching is going on, and they say, well, I don't want to cause a stir. I don't believe that's right, but I'm not going to say anything about it. Jude teaches us something exactly the opposite way. It tells us we need to be active in contending against those who are teaching false doctrine.
In Jacob, James 5, verse 19 and 20, he says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." That's the reason for all of us to be on guard, to be looking for those things.
We ought to be active in teaching against the false doctrine, not only to prevent those who are hearing the doctrine from following it, but also hopefully to convert the person who's teaching the false doctrine.
Furthermore, how we're going to deal with these false teachers, Titus 3 says that we're to reject them. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, he said. Now notice, we don't jump to that conclusion. There's a first and second admonition. In other words, we're not just going to pull the trigger on him immediately. We're going to work with him. But if he won't repent, if he won't stop teaching his false doctrine, we're going to reject him. And we're going to refuse to share with them in their work. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, notice, how are we going to treat these false teachers? 2 John verses 9 through 11, "Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." And so we can't participate, encourage, or support the work of a false teacher. So, Wade, if I knew that, for instance, you were teaching something that was false doctrine, you said, "Listen, I'm going off to Mexico, and I'm going down there to teach them this, and yet I know what you plan to teach them is false," then I can't bid you Godspeed, and I can't say, here's $100 to help you on your journey, right?
No, you wouldn't be able to do that.
You know, that's something, though, that we've got to be aware of. A lot of people in the religious world today would say, "I don't agree with what he teaches, but, you know, that's okay. We can still be in fellowship. We can still work together. We can overlook our differences and all get along." It's not what the Bible teaches there. We've got to be careful. Those who are teaching false doctrine, we can't have fellowship with them, and we can't associate with their
false teaching. So what we've talked about is how we identify them,
And then our obligation, once they have been identified, is that we have to expose them, reject them, and avoid them. Real quick, we got one more email. Jake, I know we're close to out of time. Let me real quick refer to another email from Mike here in Columbia. Can we judge others as being false teachers? Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Does that mean that we can't judge false teachers? Well, he goes on to say Jesus himself judged others' teachings when he called the Sadducees and Pharisees in Matthew 16, 1 through 4, an evil and adulterous generation. I think Matthew 7, verse 1 is not a condemnation on making all judgments. It's a condemnation on hypocritical judgments. And we've commented on that verse before and hopefully can in the future.
Furthermore, Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24 really goes along and says what we said about false teachers. He says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So as we're judging false teachers and we're judging things in general, Jesus says, don't look at it just appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what we've got to do with false teachers.
Exactly right. And so appreciate Mike's email. But don't let anybody suggest to you that Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not, you be not judged, means that we can't call false teachers false teachers.
That's right. We've had a good study tonight, Dad. Quickly wrap up what we've said and summarize it for us.
Okay. Well, we're in regards to false teachers and false doctrines, here's what we got to do. First, we got to accept the scriptures as the only legitimate standard to settle all disputes. We've got to honestly study all issues. We've got to stand for what we believe the scriptures require as a standard of faith and conduct, regardless of the consequences. We're not going to compromise our faith for some false sense of unity. We're going to try to be free from the from any kind of a party spirit, anything that includes. We're going to treat one another with love, fairness, and honesty. And we're going to But then we're going to ultimately label someone as a false teacher when all reasonable efforts to reconcile differences have failed.
Well, we've had a good study about false teachers tonight. I hope that we have emphasized the importance of looking for false teachers and not just accepting everyone who comes along and accepting what they teach, but we have to look and be carefully on guard for those who are teaching false doctrine. Wade, thank you for coming and helping us with the study tonight. Enjoyed the discussion with you.
My pleasure.
And Dad, we enjoyed the time with you tonight and with our listeners. Glad that everyone joined us on the
program. Yeah, we're glad for the study tonight and hope it was helpful to everyone. We certainly enjoyed it. Remember, we're here on Thursday nights, and we look forward to you making this a part of your regular Bible study schedule. Remember that our email is always up, questions@collegeview.com. Send us an email. We'll be glad to hear from you. Real quick, Jacob, I might mention an upcoming event here at the College View Church so that some of our listeners in the Columbia area can be making note of that. November 13th through the 18th, we're going to have a gospel meeting here at the College View Church with gospel preaching each night of that week. It'll be at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday of that week, and we'll be talking more about that as we get closer. But maybe look to your calendar and make a note that we're going to be having a gospel meeting here at College View that week.
And we're going to be doing the virtual Bible study after the meeting on Thursday night, and so if you want to come and be a part of that as well, you can.
And we're going to have a live audience for
that. That's a live audience, and take your questions in person on the virtual Bible study that Thursday night. So be staying tuned for more information about the upcoming services, the special services at the College View Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program tonight. I hope you benefited from the things that we've discussed. If you have any questions about the things we talked about, please send us an email. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. That address works throughout the week, and we can respond to your question, and we can have a study with you over email. If you'll send us an email at questions@collegeview.com, or you can call us. The number to dial is 931-381-4567. We look forward to hearing from you. We hope you'll make plans to be back here next week for the virtual Bible study on Thursday night. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.